The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
It gives me great pleasure to welcome to studio this week for the Thursday interview, Blána Ní Coifig. Blána, conas thato.
Tamagamags, tuhain.
Yeah, arouse an ish. So, Kneecap mentioned you in one of their songs.
Is that the first question?
Yeah, very first thing.
Yes, Kneecap mentioned me in, I don't know which one it is now. It's one of the earlier ones. It must be the second or third song. I had met them up in Guidor in Hughie Bags, and it was New Year's Eve, a good few years ago, and... Well, apart from I kind of knew Nisha's family anyway, but Liam Ogue's family, I didn't know. I didn't know Liam Ogue. I thought he was very annoying, but that was very late in the night. But yeah, I got to know them, and then we started talking, and a very good friend of ours died just there last year, Ronan Makiwi, a wonderful broadcaster. And Ronan was crazy about them, and he was pushing them all the way. And then they heard my husband, Kieran, was involved in music. So they kind of were very cheeky and said, any chance he could mix a few tracks for us? So he did. They came down and they spent a day and a night in the house, and it was great crack.
I'd say it was.
It was. And they're great lads. Yeah. Like, they're the best. They're going to
They're just having some huge moment though, aren't they?
Yeah, but it's like... It's just been brilliant, and what they've done for the Irish language is absolutely amazing, and we don't know the half it yet.
Do you think, because we were talking about it on this show only a couple of weeks ago, do you think that when you look at Kneecap and you look at on Colin Kewan and you know, there's lots of other things, you know, anecdotally, just the amount of people I think maybe re-engaging with it. Now, maybe I just think that because I've been trying to do it. Ooh. So there's a little bit of kind of, you know, Bader Meinhof or whatever. But How to Gael, the podcast, you know, Louise Cantillon and Shivani Rourke and others, and they're kind of selling out shows and everything all of a sudden.
Yeah, but Bjor Egan was probably there before them, not to put them down. I mean, Bjor Egan were ahead of anyone when it came to podcasts. And
but do you think
they don't put any
moment?
English into it. No, absolutely it's having a moment. But, you know, we've always had film and... filiacht, you know, poetry and you know, literature will dabble with the language, they'll touch on it, they'll use a bit of the language. But I think Kneecap are living it. It's not writing it for the sake of screen or performance. They do perform, but they're living it. And that's why they did so well at Sundance Film Festival, because people believed it was real, and it's real.
It was authentic.
Yes, that this is, you know, when you talk about West Belfast, these two young lads, they talk about food banks, they talk about hard times, they talk about everything and anything. Yes, they talk about the drugs and they talk about everything else, but they talk about real life. And that, to me, that's what hit me when I heard the lyrics first, was the food banks.
Mm.
And okay, we all have food banks, but there's a lot up there. Like, you know, before we were talking about them so much down here, they were there. And no one talks about that side of Belfast, you know, the lack of employment, the lack of progression in employment, the lack of education, the backup they don't have, I think is one of our greatest shames.
I guess the difference between them and some of the stuff I mentioned, maybe not on Colin Kewan, but the podcast as well, is, and I like this, and when you talk to Kewan and Splunk, he's always very keen on this as well, is that they don't talk about the language, like as in they're not, you know, sometimes the kind of the changa, changa, changa thing,
oh, yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah, but I suppose we're always asked about the tango.
Yeah, so
that's more your fault than our fault.
Well, I know.
Not you personally, but you know, English speaking broadcasters will ask you
about
that.
But it's just, you know, but what it means is that people who are not living it and they're not kind of immersed in it, that their exposure to it is people just talking about it, and it, you know,
it's limited.
And it kind of, yes, exactly. It kind of reinforces an idea that that. You know, the value of the language is just so you can talk to other people about the language.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know,
you know.
But again, like, I could play the same old cliche. Like, you know, I remember going on one of those programs on RT once, and somebody said something to me about the amount of money that's spent on translating all these documents in Irish. I'm going, oh, God's sake, just talk to me about the language. You know, the language I speak. I'm not here to talk about the academic side of it. You know, that's just a by the by. You know, it's the language, it's normalizing it, and it's the language, it's the spoken language. And for us Irish speakers, it is difficult because you are a minority. And when you are a minority, you do gravitate towards each other. There's no question about that. We can't help it. It's like we need that
Protestants.
Backup. Absolutely.
They all know each other, Blanet. They all know each other.
My father said years ago, if we were like the Protestants down south marrying each other, we'd have more Irish speakers. Yeah. And I said, you're right, Daddy. But yeah, it's kind of, it is a bit like that. It is a bit like we gravitate towards each other and we celebrate each other, but we're also quite critical of each other. Mm. You know, I was out there waiting to come in and I met three other Irish speakers. Just so happens they were going on Splunk, you know. Mm. And we were fixing the world in 20 minutes. I was like, oh, this is just, and we were buzzing. And then I had to come in and do this. I was like, oh my God, there's loads of ideas here, you know. So, yeah, we do gravitate towards each other.
Ideas for Nationwide?
Yes.
Are you enjoying it?
I love it. Yeah. I love it. I'm very lucky.
As much as you thought you'd love it?
Not as much as I thought I'd love it. I love it more than I realised really? I'd love it. Yeah, does that make any sense? I was at a stage where there wasn't that many gigs. There isn't that many gigs anymore. And I went for the gig. I asked for it and I got it. And you know when you kind of, I never really get anything I want. I always get something I don't want, but I end up liking something about it. But I really do love it. I love
Why?
It.
Why?
Because I get out. I get on the road. I'm just back from Kerry after spending 3 days in West Kerry. It was wild, it was wet, it was cold, but it was fantastic. You're smiling all the way home because you arrive with Nationwide and they love seeing you.
Yeah.
They love seeing you. It's like you've given them a baraka. They just go, Blanet, Nationwide, and they just smile. Yeah. Except this guy from Kerry was slagging me last week, you know, being, he said, Musha Khaleen, Tamonel got, you know, Mohad Le Pelador Vlaclia, you know, because my son plays with Dublin. The shame on me that I give birth to a Dublin player. But no, I love it. I absolutely adore it. It's a huge brand. It's 30 years going. Yeah. Like Michael Ryan kicked it off and he did a great job on it. And it's a tight team. You know, we could probably do with loads more people working on it, but what's new? But we manage, you know, 3 nights a week. There's no break like some programs, you know, in the summer or anything like that. It just keeps going. And it's doing very well. Like, not to brag, but we bet the Late Late recently. And,
you know, wow.
So you're not allowed to do that, I say at the corner of my mouth. So, no, it's great. And Dancing with the Stars. So, like, it's all good.
What I'm always struck by Nationwide is I think why it resonates with people and why it's so popular still is, you know, it's that kind of parochial thing in Ireland. You know, my country is Kiltartan's Cross and all of that. You know, we love it. Like, to this day, my mother might text me kind of randomly say, you know, Kenny's on Nationwide there. You know, just because she's at home, she might see it. You know, and that's just a thing.
Totally.
You kind of, and then you want to tune it, you want to see it.
But everyone has a story.
Yeah.
Kieran, everyone has a story. Like, you can go anywhere to, like, I'm not even from a parish, I'm from an area. My area is not even a parish, Rockcarron, the Gaeltacht, the Meath. But, like, I'll get 3 stories there tomorrow morning. Every time I go somewhere, I come back with 2 stories.
Yeah.
Because everyone has a story and they're, you know, without sounding like a cliche, they're about people and they're about communities and they're the most popular stories.
So are you at a point now where you'd say, I'm happy with the way things are going?
Yeah, I am. I'm happy. I'm happy with work. Absolutely. I'm happy with work. I suppose personally, it's like, you know, my daughter's gone away. She's living in Australia now, so I miss her terribly. But I think most mothers I meet now with 27-year-olds are going, mine's away as well. Mine's away. And it's not like when they went away in our day, she didn't go away because she didn't get any work. She went away for adventure, for more work and whatever. But they're having a great life. She's living the best life ever in Sydney and they get up at 5:30 and they go to the gym and they do this and I've got the sun and it's too hot, Mom. I'm lighter for you. The other lad has moved out and the younger two are still there. So, yeah, it's different. It's a different house.
Yeah.
It's a different house. It's a quieter house, but it's nice. It's nice. It's okay. I'm not saying you're not welcome, the other two, but, you know, it's nice. It's quieter. It's nice. I suppose you know when you're mad busy with little ones, and I know yours are smaller.
Yeah, seven and nine.
They're not that small. They're just small. They're not that small.
Smaller than yours.
Smaller than mine. But you do get your life back. You kind of forget that. I always say that to people if they think they're fed up with their husbands or their partners. Oh, you get it back. You get it back. All will be good again.
Yeah, well.
You get time back.
The other thing people have said to me, though, is, you know, the stuff you worry about now, don't worry, that'll disappear. But it'll just be replaced by a whole other thing.
Yeah, but it's a different worry. You know, you probably never sleep when they go out anyway. And you do hear the front door, even if it's 4:30 in the morning. But yeah, you do. What happens when they get older, which I love, is the crack. You know, they'll come into the house and, you won't believe what happened to me. I had to pay tax, you know, or something. Or you won't believe, you know. Yeah. You know, so I do enjoy that part. I do enjoy as an adult being out. I had them young, you know, I had Sheila at 26, so.
Do you see yourself in them?
Sometimes in my bad bits, yeah. Do I see? I see myself. Yeah, I see myself in two of them in particular. And a male version of me, I'm not saying is a great thing, but a male version of me can get away with murder.
Oh, really?
A male version is like, you know, I often think of that song from Martha Wainwright, oh, I wish I was born a man, you know, how life would be so different.
Because why I wanted to get a sense of whether you see them at that age. You said this interesting thing to Barry Egan a few years ago about you say lots of interesting things when you talk to Barry Egan.
Well, Barry just seems to, yeah, go on.
You admit that when you were kind of in your teens and you went away to school in Dublin, I was very confused and very lost. I got in with some popular gangs. I had a lot of fun at the expense of becoming disconnected with my family. And I feel I'd be more relaxed as a person now if I hadn't had that disconnect at such an important and impressionable time.
Oh, yeah. Well, I definitely feel that. I went to Dublin too young. I was, you know, I came to school in Dublin. I was far too young. But it wasn't like boarding school. Like if you're in boarding school, you'd be with other people who were in the same situation. I was going to school Monday to Friday in Dublin and going home at the weekend. So, you know, I often thought when my kids were like 14, 15, 16, 17, it's probably the most important time to be coming home every night. Even if half the time you weren't talking to your parents, at least you were coming home. Or I didn't have that. And I think if I had have had that, it would have made a difference.
In what way? Because the way you describe it, I'd be more relaxed as a person now.
Yeah, I think it, well, I'm not sure what I meant in that context. But I mean, I think what I meant was that I was far too, I had to grow up too fast.
Yeah.
You know, I was in RT at 18. You know, nobody would want anyone to be in a place like RT in any institution at 18. You know, you're supposed to do, you know, lounge bar work at 18 or part-time work. You shouldn't be in a place where, you know, your vulnerability or your vulnerability or your vivaciousness could go against you. In other words, you know, you're not protected at 18 by anything. You don't have the sense of what could happen to you or might happen to you. You just go, oh, here I am, you know, and you're just this ball of vivaciousness. You know, I've just this huge personality. And, you know, it's funny, like today we had this lovely event in RT because of International Women's Day tomorrow. We had it today because of the referendum and everyone's going to be working anyway tomorrow. Well, they're going to be working through from 1 to 2. And today we did this speed networking, where everyone had to talk to each other for 3 minutes, all these women in a room. And some of the women in that room had never met each other. Like there's a girl in the library who just joined in June. She never met anyone. Someone else came in during lockdown. So these people never knew what the other people, they just knew them as another person on an email.
Yeah.
And it sounds really, really silly, but it was incredible atmosphere. For an hour, people just, 3 minutes, I'd ring a bell and they'd move on. I'd ring a bell and they'd move on. And I'm always aware of that in RT, of the younger people. Probably because, you know, I didn't have it that easy when I was younger there. But, you know, that doesn't mean I should want that for anyone else. You should want the, you know, whatever you felt you should have had, you should want to give that back. You should always look out for the next gang coming in.
Because people don't often react that way, though. People react to the opposite way to the way you suggest they should react. They kind of, like, even though on some level they recognize that the experiences they had were negative, in some way they kind of feel they were formative and I should kind of visit that hardship on the next generation.
No, that's rubbish. Why would you do that?
No, but people do.
Yeah, but like if you know, we make life better. We have to make life better, not... Like, however it was for me, however it was for anyone else, you shouldn't want that for
them. They say it builds resilience.
No, it's rubbish. That's rubbish. Like, you know, RTE is like any other organisation. It's a massive institution. And it was there before me. It'll be there after me. But it doesn't mean you sit in your laurels and let it be whatever. We all have to make it better. I believe that.
What's the favourite thing you've ever done in RTE?
Sometimes it's not always the highest profile stuff. It's just kind of, you know, the afternoon show was this huge success and it was and all that. But I suppose for me, I loved the moment of truth. It was just, I don't know how many we did, 12, 14 programs. We just recorded as live interviews and I loved them. I loved them because people trusted me and they share their stories. It could be from, you know, an abortion that they had to have for whatever reason, you know, losing a child, or having to give up a child, whatever it was that they went through. But the thing about it, we didn't pick up pieces. They had been through therapy. Do you understand? It's not like a chat show where you're going, oh my God, oh my God, and then everyone's crying and then you hold them and then the next thing you go to an ad break and everyone's left exposed. And I always say, but what about the guy who's sitting there crying? Where's he gone now? Like, who's minding him? All these people we interviewed had gone through therapy.
Yeah.
So they're told their story after the event. That's very healing.
Yeah.
Very healing.
And I think it kind of brings us back around to something we said right at the start. People, I think, they connect with that type of content, to use an awful kind of modern phrase, because they're authentic. People are being authentic in it.
Yeah, and that's
that story.
And Nationwide is authentic. You know, that's what Nationwide is as well. You know, people tell their... We're not asking experts to tell their version of someone's story. The person's telling his own story or her own story. And I love that. You know, we did a lovely story in West Kerry last week. It'll go out now next week with Sláinte Ní Chathaillín, the local girl, works for Radio na Gaeltachta. And she just wrote a book with her granny. It's just old stories about her, but her granny is so funny. Like, her granny once hit the alarm button just so someone would bring her cigarettes. You know,
she's the medical alarm button.
But she didn't show the panic alarm button. But her granny is so funny. But the, you know, it's only a little ditty. It's only a little book she wrote about her with her granny, and it's everything and anything because it gives a sense of a young Gaeltacht woman living in a Gaeltacht area and being comfortable and happy with where she is and not wanting to leave, and hopefully she can afford to stay there, because that's going to be the big problem.
Yeah, that is the other problem.
That is. But I hear Catherine Martin has just announced major money for Irish language organisation, so yippee yahoo!
All right, things are looking up. Positive note to wrap things up.
Absolutely,
Gormila Magus.
Gormila Mahad here on.
Stay with us. Lots still to come on The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan,
weekdays from 4 on News Talk.